Happy Easter again. You know, we can say that to one another for about another month. It's still Easter. And this is a rich gospel today. Father Richard said he wasn't sure how long I was going to preach, and neither am I, by the way. This particular passage comes from the last chapter of John's gospel. And John's is the theological, reflective gospel, much more so than Matthew or Mark or Luke. Those gospels are much more structured and written as if they were reporting what Jesus did, rather than delving as deeply as John does into who Jesus is. So whenever we read John, when we dive into this deep symbol system and cover ourselves over with this sea of contemplative insights, we really have to come into it with a lifeline so that we can find our way back to the surface and breathe regular air again every now and then. So I'm going to try to be the lifeline for this passage. There are just a couple of scenes, actually three, that I want to offer for your consideration today as to their deeper meaning. First comes this appearance at the Sea of Tiberias. Does it seem a little out of place to you? It does to me, because I'm imprinted with Luke's gospel, where this scene is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Remember Jesus on the shore calling the fishermen who come to join him and follow him through his ministry. At the very beginning. But John puts it here. It's not at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, it's past the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. It is in his post-resurrection appearances. It's a handy literary device for Luke, but I think it makes more sense here. I think this might be where it really happened. If we take the view that this is where the story belongs, after Jesus' resurrection, and look at what happens with the disciples, we can see a lot about ourselves, I think. I know I see something particularly disturbing about myself. Notice that these disciples are back to living their lives as they were before Jesus showed up in their lives, very, very quickly after his death. Even very quickly after having encountered the risen Christ, they're back to their same old ways. I find myself guilty of that. The apostles, soon to be, followed Jesus through his ministry, even encountering him as the risen Christ, it seems as though they haven't had a deep enough connection with this risen Christ yet to have it make a difference in the way they live their lives. And I see myself in this. Maybe you see yourself in this as well. I know I've been known to come to Mass, to spend some considerable time studying this enormously rich and beautiful faith tradition of ours. I've spent time in the company of those who really are living their lives as ministers of God's mercy in the world. I've had all these lessons and still gone home or gone to my job and acted as though I hadn't understood a thing. That this was some information that I had tucked away, but was not a transformation of the way I lived my life. I was the same, still am sometimes. You could ask my wife. The same ordinary, self-centered goof that I always was. I've been the fisherman on the shore with empty nets. How about you? And still, I've sat there in the selfishness and ordinariness, and as often as I have done this, I have held on really tightly to my selfishness and my ordinariness. Every time, nonetheless, the risen Christ still comes to me and says, as he said to the fisherman, give it another try. Do it this way. Toss out your net in that direction and see what happens. Still, over and over again, the risen Christ invites me to participate in his all-encompassing love. The second scene I want you to look at is the encounter between Peter and the risen Christ. Peter, do you love me? Three times, do you love me? Three times, you know I love you. How many times do I have to tell you? Is the unspoken part. That's probably edited out. It should be obvious, Peter is saying. Really? It should be obvious? Three times I've publicly denied you. It should be obvious I love you. I ran away during your darkest hours, your deepest trials. It should be obvious I love you. For every time Peter publicly denied Jesus, the risen Christ offers him an opportunity to make a public demonstration of his true faith and love. For every time I fail to know Jesus in public, I will be offered an equal number of times to publicly be a minister of his love, of the love of the risen one. I am sure of that. I have only to look around. Look around. For all the times that we fail to live the gospel, there are as many people in need of something that we have been given as stewards to bring to them. All we need is to be awake enough when we are in their presence to hear the question, do you love me? And to act on having heard that question. All we have to do is go beyond merely saying the words, I love you, once a week on Sunday, or even daily at Mass, if that's our custom, to go beyond that and act every day as though we really do mean that. And then finally, there's this lovely scene where Jesus has prepared a meal for his disciples as they return to the shore with their catch. There is bread and there is fish. Loaves and fishes. Sound familiar? There are a lot of recurring themes here. Loaves and fishes to sustain those whom he has called to do his work. So today, as we join in this communion procession, in just a few moments, please be aware that this meal has been prepared for us by the risen one to sustain us in our individual and in our community missions to feed the rest of God's flock. And that we have, through this communion, greater strength than we could ever realize. We are called to be fearless, not to be intimidated by the apparent size of the brokenness of the world. Even though there were so many, the nets were not broken. So come, eat and drink, so that this week we might all cast our nets fruitfully.